More than a decade after Caritas, the Catholic Church's aid and development agency, first started helping people in North Korea, the isolated communist country is changing fast, yet many families still find it very hard to survive. That's the view of Kathy Zellweger, one of the very few Westerners to have travelled extensively inside North Korea, despite tough government controls on all foreign activity. Originally from Switzerland, Kathy has spent over a quarter of a century in Asia working on humanitarian aid programs with the Global Confederation Caritas Internationalis. From her base in Hong Kong, she first began visiting North Korea in the mid-1990s as reports of starving children began filtering out of the famine-hit nation.
Our program really started in summer 1995. That summer they had terrible floods and they asked the international community for assistance, and Caritas was one of them, and that's how it all started.
Take us back to your first visit to the country, the kind of impression you had when you first went inside the country.
Oh, in those days it was totally different. I mean, you really felt it was an isolated place and people would not look at you, they would avoid eye contact, you had no links basically, it was just a totally different world, and that has all changed. It's now more relaxed. Of course, if you are a newcomer, it's still not relaxed, but for me, having the opportunity to compare over 10-12 years makes a big difference, so I do see changes.
What would you say are Caritas' greatest achievement over this, well, more than a decade now?
Oh, I think we have saved thousands and thousands of lives by providing the much-needed food aid in the crisis years, 1995 to 1998. And even today, also the North Korean government is requesting development aid. I still believe there is a big need for humanitarian assistance. And we need to watch the situation very, very carefully and see what kind of humanitarian assistance we still can provide.
How difficult is it for you and other humanitarian aid workers to really be able to assess the needs of the people there? How easy is it to travel around outside the cities, for example?
There are still, of course, restrictions. You need travel permits. But in my case, once you have been given the travel permit, and if you have a good North Korean companion with you and you know perhaps the people on the ground in the counties or villages, you have established relationship and trust, then the difficulties are much, much less.
So in other words, the image that we have through the news stories that come out of difficulties with the government, once you get to a local level, you're saying that's quite different.
My experience is that at the local level, you're really welcomed and they appreciate the help. I mean, they appreciate our help at the top level, too. It's just that there is internally, are there some tensions about all these foreigners in the country? Not that there are that many, but still. So a lot is bargaining, negotiating. And I think that's one thing I had to learn in Asia, that you negotiate everything. And that takes time and patience.
What about the mentality of the average North Korean family today? How much are they aware of the international situation and the situation regarding their own country? How much access do they have to media now, for example?
I think the access to international news is still very limited. Also now, every Sunday evening, they have a 45-minute TV program about international news, so at least that. But in the countryside or in the areas where the situation is still very difficult, I think for the average family, it's a struggle for survival. And you are concerned about, how can I feed my children? Will they get schooling? What can I do if somebody falls ill? That has priority, and not thinking about, you know, bigger issues.
How much is health and education and these other, as you say, basics of life, how difficult is it still for people to get that in the poorer areas that you're visiting and looking after?
Healthcare is still in a very, very dismal state of affairs, and a lot needs to be done in that sector. WHO is helping a lot, UNICEF, and then some aid agencies like Caritas, but the needs are very big. In terms of upgrading the present system, upgrading hospitals, but also the training component comes in too. And that's a change from the last few years, that we are now able to do more capacity building projects. So there has definitely been a greater awareness that there is a need to learn in a variety of sectors. So that's again positive.
How much does the development of the country, do you think, help to stabilize the political situation?
That is a hard question, but I think with the changes, like with the establishment of markets, with people now receiving salaries instead of government handouts, the mindset of the people is changing.
Describe to us a little bit, if you can, life in the city right now in Pyongyang. You're saying there's a huge change even from just a decade ago.
What life has changed city? Is, for example, that there's more traffic, more cars, more bicycles. People are dressed more colourful. There are markets. Small-scale businesses have been established. Everybody, I think, now talks about costs and prices. This wasn't on before because people simply took what they received, and now they have to make ends meet. And that, of course, for many, I think, is also a problem. And I see that have and have nots are developing. And therefore, for Caritas, it is very important that we follow this trend and see how can we help those that are falling through the net, the sick, the poor, the marginalized, the excluded.
We're talking about the humanitarian situation. Of course, North Korea is largely in the news at the moment for the current nuclear tensions over its nuclear capacity. How much do you think can international pressure on the government help to resolve this current crisis?
Personally, I do not believe in pressure or sanctions because most of the time they hurt the wrong people. I do, however, believe in negotiations and in a constructive, non-threatening engagement.
And yet the six-party talks broke down quite some time ago, and it seems difficult to find a way through this current deadlock.
With the six-party talks, I felt probably North Korea felt threatened because, you know, there were more partners on the other side than on their side. And I think eventually a direct dialogue with the US has to happen. Maybe this threats with a nuclear test, perhaps that's also an outcry to say, can we not talk? Or do we have to take more drastic measurements?
What role does South Korea play in this? Because on the surface, it would seem that perhaps the South Korea is most obvious negotiating partner to begin with, as a bridge between, if you like, the two sides.
Even with South Korea, the situation is still very, very complex, and there are still many, many hurdles to take. Also, South Korea is trying very hard to engage North Korea.
There are, of course, many families, aren't there, on both sides of the divide between North and South Korea, and the family reunification program at one time seemed to be bringing the two sides a little closer together.
That is still happening, that they have from time to time these family reunion gatherings, and I do think that is very, very important. But I also feel the younger generation in South Korea has a very different outlook, because for them it's not that close anymore. It's over 50 years. So it's no longer a topic which was discussed at the family table before, you know, relatives in the north, because, you know, the clock is ticking. And those who still have relatives in the north, they are all in their 80s and plus.
What about the role of the church in South Korea? Traditionally, the archbishop in Seoul is apostolic administrator also of North Korea. Is there any way that the church in the south can play a stronger role in trying to forge ties, in trying to ease tensions between the two countries?
There are different groups in the South Korea from the church who are trying to establish more in-depth links with North Korea. How far we have come, I don't know. We have very little information about the situation in the north. I still believe maybe among the group that goes to the Catholic Church in Pyongyang, the Changchun Church on Sunday, where it's only a prayer service because there is no priest. I do believe among the old people there might be some Christians, but it's hard to tell.
Is there any interest amongst younger people, for example, about religious faith of any kind, perhaps not just the Christian faith? Do you ever...
Very, very little. Only because when I'm there, I usually go to church on Sunday, so occasionally my North Korean companions would ask a few questions, why, and... what is this all about? But or they would listen in and, you know, join the service, but that's about it. Otherwise, it's hardly ever discussed. However, whenever I meet officials in the countryside, I always explain what Caritas is and what we stand for.
You say you've been working there for over a decade now. What really gives you hope in the country there when you're working amongst the people?
Well, I think at the end it is the people where you see that you can have an impact and you can help them to move forward or help them to help themselves. And sometimes we tend to forget that there are 22, 23 million North Koreans who want to just lead a simple, ordinary life like you and I. Because all we read is, you know, the political issues, the nuclear issues, whatever, but there are millions of people who have the same desires as we have.
Kathy Zellweger there, who's moving from her job as head of Caritas Hong Kong to Pyongyang, where she'll be running a humanitarian aid program for the Swiss government's Office on Development and Cooperation.